This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Friday, April 29th. I'm Angela Dunning. Petersburg Borough Assembly on Monday will be voting on the budget for fiscal year 2016-2017. In the budget is $1.96 million for community services. That's about $11,000 more than community services received last year, but about $40,000 less than years 2013 and 14. The largest chunk of the borough's budget for the community services is for the school district at $1.8 million. That's the same amount the district has received the last 4 years. Several other community service organizations are splitting roughly $162,000. Petersburg Mental Health Services would get $75,000. That's $10,000 less than it received the last 3 years. WAVE would be getting $25,000 and KFSK $18,000, among others. Also at Monday's meeting, the borough will consider two ordinances regarding marijuana. One would add marijuana regulations to the alcohol section in the municipal code. The other would add fines for marijuana violations to the municipal code. It adds marijuana next to alcohol in the fines section. It would fine people $500 for not obtaining a marijuana license, same as not having a liquor license. The two marijuana ordinances are under new business, so public hearings on them will likely be held in May. The Borough Assembly meeting is noon Monday. It will be held in the conference room on the second story of the Hollingstad-Paradovich building. It's open to the public. If you can't make it to the meeting but you want to stay informed, KFSK will be airing the meeting live. Four Petersburg artists will soon be showing their artwork in Anchorage. The Rasmussen Art Acquisition Fund has asked for art pieces owned by the Clausen Museum here in Petersburg. Kathy Reamer is the museum's director.
This year we got a call from the Rasmussen Fund, the Rasmussen Foundation, and they asked if they could borrow four pieces of our art.
Rasmussen was specific about what they wanted. They wanted an oil painting from P. O'Reilly called Vibration, an oil painting Wet Meadow Stream by Beth Floor, an oil painting by Joe Vicnicki called Sasby Solstice, and they also wanted a stained glass piece, Sea Star One by Debbie McMahon. Reamer says the pieces were mailed out of Petersburg this week to be hung in Rasmussen's newly renovated office space.
And it'll be hanging up in Anchorage for the next 18 months, and then it'll come back to us. So it's kind of an honor, I think, to have our artists recognized.
The Clausen Museum uses Rasmussen grants to buy art every year. The four pieces of art being shared are part of the museum's permanent collection. To see photos of the art pieces, you can go to our website, kfsk.org, or visit us on Facebook. The Togiak herring fishery is having a tough season. First, the herring showed up and started spawning earlier than ever before. Then the winds and weather proved uncooperative. Dave Benninger has more from Dillingham on the ongoing effort to harvest roughly 29,000 tons in the state's largest herring fishery.
The 17 seiners probably won't, and the two gillnetters definitely won't hit their share of that quota this year. But how to sum up the 2016 Togiak herring season so far? Icicle Seafood's fleet manager Warner Liu took a stab Monday.
The fish are early. We showed up late, gone before we know it. We're done before the normal Togiak starting time. I mean, how's that? This is off the charts early.
Liu was aboard Icicle's floating processor Gordon Jensen, not far from the Togiak fishing grounds, but on Monday, not much fishing was happening. A nasty east wind had kicked up Sunday and blown out much of the effort.
Well, it's blowing 40 right now, surf's up, it's tough conditions wherever you go. Spotter pilots have an impossible time, but for weather, hoping that there's something left when the winds settle down.
Okay, he was a little garbled there, but basically saying when the wind stopped howling, which it did Monday night, the spotter pilots could find the herring and the seiners could get some sets in. Tuesday's harvest will be reported Wednesday, and it will likely be a pretty important piece of data for the four companies buying herring. The catch has fallen from 1,500 tons Saturday to 450 tons Sunday to just 252 on Monday. The seiners are not yet halfway to their share of the quota, and it's starting to feel like the season could be winding down. But Fish and Game's area manager Tim Sands says that's still too hard to tell.
It's easy to say the catches went down, but the last 2 days was poor weather, and I think that was a bigger factor in the ability to harvest fish than it confounds the presence or absence of quality fish, I guess.
The fishery can end when the fleet hits its quota. It can end when the herring are spawned out and no longer of market value. Or Fish and Game can wrap things up when the fleet starts catching too many of the smaller, younger age class herring. If there are only a few days left, the Togiak herring harvest is going to come up way short this year, but so did Sitka Sound and so did British Columbia. The upside, as Icicle's Lou confirmed, is that the size and quality has been good again.
Yeah, this is perhaps the best seen quality, world quality, that Icicle's never seen in our history here. It's been good throughout, and that's the odd part. It hasn't diminished yet. We're seeing a couple of spawn-outs, but up to the end, the roe quality's held up.
As far as the fishermen are concerned, if the markets appreciate the high quality and lower volume this season and pay a better price, well, that might be just fine. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
Fisheries researchers say North Pacific Ocean salmon species may be competing for prey, perhaps even adversely affecting the populations of each other. The pink salmon fishery, the staple of Southeast Alaska's commercial finfish fisheries, may be benefiting from that competition. KTOO's Matt Miller has more from Juneau.
These pink salmon that we got in early this year are some of the largest I've seen in quite a long time.
That's John Joyce, fisheries research biologist at the Ted Stevens Marine Research Institute in Auk Bay, in an interview last summer. As the waters of Auk Creek flowed over rocks and salmon lingered in a nearby pool, Joyce explained the creek's weir features over 35 years of continuous data that is valuable for climate change research.
You know, we had a real warm event. It would be logical to assume that that's creating a pretty good growth regime for these fish, and we're seeing evidence of that with these fish coming back.
Joyce says the adult pink salmon are returning earlier every summer, a total of 2 weeks earlier since counting started. Last year's returning pinks also came back in big numbers in the northern part of Southeast Alaska. They were also bigger than usual, about 12% heavier than the previous year.
Okay, we're about ready to start.
During the Salmon Ocean Ecology Meeting in Juneau in March, research biologists presented their findings, suggested that some Pacific Ocean salmon species are benefiting from a competition for food resources. Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Leon Shaw says they've noticed a trend develop in the Gulf of Alaska and Southeast Alaska over the last several decades. Older Chinook and Coho are getting smaller, while young reds and pinks are getting bigger.
The size of salmon in the region has shown a pattern of convergence, with everything that was smaller 30, 35 years ago trending larger and the larger fish trending smaller.
Shaw wonders if the salmon's forage base is being altered by the recent swings in water temperature. When ocean temperatures are cool, young pink salmon usually grow by feeding on the bigger and fattier zooplankton. It just so happens that squid like zooplankton too.
Pink salmon may be changing the whole forage base, similar to the phenomenon of fishing down the marine food web, taking out the squid, which is a direct competitor with them for zooplankton. And so the pink salmon is an intra-guild predator that both eats its competitor and eats the prey of its competitor.
And it's also possible that when pink salmon bulk up by consuming squid, they're also depriving offshore coho and chinook of their primary food source. Shull acknowledges that they still haven't pinned down whether young pinks are benefiting from more zooplankton because those older pinks are scooping up all the squid. And since less fatty zooplankton are prevalent during warm conditions, they're still not sure how pinks are still getting bigger with a recent warm water anomaly known as the blob in the Northeast Pacific.
And if it's driven by climate, then you would expect going back into a warm period that they would have been smaller in size, and yet pink salmon have continued to grow larger in 2015. And so they followed this recent trend, which suggests that there's something more than just a change in climate, that there is plenty of food out there and that somehow they are benefiting.
Elsewhere in the North Pacific, researchers have already documented what they believe is one salmon species crowding out another. Greg Ruggioni of Seattle-based Natural Resources Consultants explained how he believes Bristol Bay red salmon runs are affected by eastern Kamchatka pink salmon runs. Pinks usually take 2 years to mature, while reds usually take 3 years, and since both stocks intermingle in the North Pacific, huge pink runs compete for food with the young reds during their second year at sea.
And basically what you see is a very strong alternating year pattern. Pink salmon are about 40% more abundant in odd-numbered years, and there's lots of pink salmon. You see the reduction in growth, and it's fairly consistent over time.
And as well as smaller growth for red salmon, Ruggioni says there are fewer of them in alternating years in Bristol Bay. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Skagway residents are expecting their first cruise ship today. The overall number of ships and potential passengers is slightly down compared to last year, but the town of less than 1,000 year-round residents still expects about 800,000 cruise ship tourists. If you add independent travelers to that, the gateway to the Klondike expects nearly 1 million visitors this summer. KHNS's Emily Files has more from Haines.
The tourism rush begins about a week earlier this year. In 2015, the first ship arrived on May 5th, but this year, the 1,000-passenger Crystal Serenity will tie up to the railroad dock April 29th. From then until late September, 29 ships are expected to make 389 port calls. Cody Jennings is Skagway's tourism director.
We dropped from 402 port calls to 389, but what is making up that difference is basically the size of the ships. We're getting a few larger ships in here.
In fact, the largest ship to sail Alaska waters will dock in Skagway for the first time this summer. The Royal Caribbean's Explorer of the Seas carries an average of about 3,200 passengers, but is able to hold more than 4,000 at maximum capacity. Other new ships this year are the Radisson Seven Seas Mariner, the Pinot Yacht Cruises Le Soleil, Holland America's New Amsterdam, and Crystal Cruises Crystal Serenity. Skagway will see much heavier traffic Tuesday through Thursday. Sometimes as many as 5 ships will fill the town's waterfront, with the larger vessels at the railroad, Broadway, and ore terminal docks, and the smaller ones at the ferry dock. Jennings says the outlook for independent travelers is also expected to be similar to last year's numbers. Skagway expects about 125,000 non-cruise ship visitors.
Obviously, we're watching closely to see about the Canadian dollar, see how that impacts us. But to date, we really haven't seen much impact. And then, of course, lower fuel prices, that often helps us for, you know, highway traffic. But then again, the flip side of that is reduced service on the Alaska Marine Highway. So I think that we're expecting really similar numbers as 2015.
One tour business that primarily caters to cruise ship visitors is planning to test the independent traveler market this year. Beyond Skagway Tours offers a range of day trips for cruise ship passengers, but starting in September, they'll offer 3 to 5 day Golden Circle van trips, taking customers from Skagway to Whitehorse to Haines and the scenic places in between.
Because nobody else is doing it that I know of.
Becky Mole owns the tour business. She hopes the Golden Circle Tour will help extend its season past the last ship day.
When you're dealing with the cruise ship people, there's such a huge number of them coming in that it wasn't hard to start the business for cruise ship base, but it's a little harder tapping into this one.
Tourism Director Jennings noted a few other businesses that are expanding or changing this summer. The Pizza Station and Morningwood Hotel are expanding to add more rooms and a new bar. Pescaritos Restaurant is changing management and becoming the Mermaid Garden. And Skagway will have a brand new museum, Jeff Smith's Parlor, which opens April 30th. As seasonal workers start to arrive in town and businesses open their doors, Jennings says she's excited to see Skagway come to life this summer. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
KFSK has an open airwaves policy. We encourage the public to express opinions, ideas, and creative works, which will be available on our website, kfsk.org, following the scheduled radio broadcast. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. The following has been submitted for broadcast by the Petersburg Humane Association.
Hello, I'm Suzanne Fuqua, a longtime member of the Petersburg Humane Association, and they have asked me to read the following commentary as submitted by them. The Petersburg Humane Association, an all-volunteer group, was organized in 1997 by two Petersburg residents, Marilee Jones and Dr. Jane Egger, with the goal to raise awareness about the needs of our animal friends and companions through education, and with the hope that every animal in town would have a safe and loving home. Since 1997, the volunteers of the Petersburg Humane Association have cared and found forever homes for over 400 cats and dogs. Fundraising efforts make it possible to assist owners with the cost of sterilization through their spay-neuter voucher program. In 2010, a major advance in the shelter program was made when the Humane Association leased property near the airport from the city of Petersburg to house a permanent animal shelter and dog park. The old tent city had platforms, showers, and bathrooms which had been used to house seasonal cannery workers many years ago, and the process of refurbishing trails and building a safe, comfortable place to shelter both cats and dogs has been a huge undertaking. This phase of the project relied heavily on fundraising efforts and donations of money, materials, and labor, and could not have been completed without major support from this community. The Petersburg Humane Association hopes you and your pet will join them at their open house this Saturday, the 30th, between 2 and 4 p.m. to celebrate. You can watch the ribbon-cutting ceremony, grab a hot dog or maybe a piece of cake, and take a stroll through the dog park, or stop by the newly completed cat shelter and take a few minutes to visit with its current occupants. Maybe one of them will find their forever home this weekend. Come meet the board members and volunteers who care for the homeless pets in our community and see what your donations have accomplished so far. Support is still needed for the next desired phase, which is a shelter capable of housing up to 10 cats and several dogs. For a $100 donation, you can buy a brick commemorating your pet and help fund the final phase of shelter construction. The first of the commemorative bricks have been laid lining the entrance to the newly completed cat shelter. Every dog in town is invited to challenge the obedience course, have a romp through the toy room, or dash through the water and ice playground. Hill's Science Diet has kindly donated free gifts for every dog who attends. You can park at Sandy Beach and enjoy the short walk to the dog park, as parking will be limited there. Come rain or shine this Saturday, April 30th, from 2 to 4 p.m., and please bring your leashes.
That was Suzanne Fuqua from the Petersburg Humane Association. KFSK encourages the public expression of opinions, ideas, and creative works. Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. If you'd like more information, you can call our general manager, Tom Abbott, at 772-3808. We will be airing that commentary again during the evening newscast. And normally on Friday afternoons, we have our stocks report with Dan Berg, but I've been informed that he is traveling today and cannot join us. So that means this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. Thanks for listening.